Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Megan Richards, who is an Army combat veteran and the executive director of Packages from Home. Packages from Home serves active duty U.S. military members stationed or deployed overseas to include military working dogs and military canine teams, as well as homeless, transitioning, and at-risk veterans by providing them with requested food, hygiene, and entertainment items to boost morale and quality of life. So we'll talk more about Packages from Home in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome you to the show, Megan. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. Really excited to be here today. Really cool that we could link up, and I'm excited to talk about how we can help veterans and what we do at Packages from Home.
Sounds great. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to learning more about it too. You know, before every episode, I do a little bit of research on either the guest or the organization or both. And I joke with my wife when we're talking about like what I do, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just stalking my guest. I'm, you know, doing a little internet stalking and that type of stuff, trying to find out a little bit more about, you know, what everyone does. But it's, you know, all fun and everything there. So I guess maybe to start off, can you talk a little bit about your time serving in the Army? You know, what got you into the military? What were maybe some of the highlights and challenges maybe that you experienced during your service?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sure. I come from a military family. I'm an Air Force brat. My father was an F-16 pilot. He now flies for Southwest. My grandfather before him was also an Air Force pilot. My uncle, same thing. Great uncle, same thing. As well as my brother. My brother is was a pilot in the Air Force. So huge military presence in our family. I myself never thought that I would find myself in the military. If you would have asked high school Megan, I definitely would have told you really anything other than that. Maybe lawyer was very argumentative. So it was a surprise to all of us, me most of all. When I joined the Army, kind of straight out of high school there. So I ended up choosing the profession of healthcare specialist. At the time, I believe it was 91 Bravo, and then it changed to 91 Whiskey. Now it's a 68 Whiskey. I'm not sure, or it was when I got out. But
okay,
so I knew it when I joined to be the profession of healthcare specialist, and I had heard the term combat medic thrown around here and there, more so in basic training, but I didn't quite know how applicable that was to myself personally until, you know, we got to AIT and I could not find the formation for healthcare specialists. They just pointed me in the same direction as all the other combat medics. So, I found myself with that realization. Again, I was 19, very young, very impressionable, very much believed what my recruiter told me, and we all know what kind of trouble that can get you into, right?
I was going to say that smells like a recruiter just painting a pretty picture for you and not being entirely truthful. I'm not saying that he lied, but maybe omitted some details, right?
We can say it. He definitely did lie. I mean, I could spend an hour talking about the tales he spun about what my military experience would be like and how far from the truth that ended up actually being like. But suffice to say, I figured out figured it out pretty quickly after I got to my first duty station, was handed a packing list immediately for Iraq. This was 2000, so I joined in 2005, kind of at the height of the Iraq War, I would say. Right. My father had done a deployment or two to the Middle East already, maybe three. And so I joined as a healthcare specialist, as a combat medic, thinking, you know, okay, well, at least I can go over there and help people in uniform, mm-hmm. like my father, like those who are, you know, the folks in my family who serve, and people like them. So that's actually what ended up motivating me to join. And in that capacity, I ended up at Fort Hood, Fort Cavazos now, in Hill Country, Texas, and then was part of 4th ID, and then ended up transferring over to 1st Cavalry Division and deploying with them twice, once to Bakuba, Iraq, in FOB War Horse in 2006, and then again in 2000 and I believe 8, to Mosul, Iraq. So yeah, that's the rundown of my military experience.
Awesome. And I always like hearing how people, you know, get from, you know, what they were to what they became and kind of the path that they took. And it's interesting because a lot of times you do hear those recruiter stories where they aren't 100% truthful. I'm not gonna get in trouble by saying that they straight up lie or anything, but you know, it's funny.
My experience is my experience. Right?
There it is.
For the whole, there you go.
It's not all recruiters. So if you're out there and you're thinking about joining the military, you know, they're not all bad. They're not all gonna lie to you, right? We like to joke about that because every once in a while
questions.
You get that. Exactly. Ask a lot of questions, find out what you're going to be doing specifically and find out more about the job. They have information on all of that stuff for all the jobs. So definitely ask questions and figure that out. So, yeah.
And YouTube, the YouTube, TikTok, they've got people, you know, with those high definition cameras in their pockets that are documenting these things. So you can really see like a day in the life of kind of any profession in the military.
Right. Yeah,
nowadays.
It's a lot different now, you know, 20 years later than it was back then when I joined the same year that you did. And there wasn't a ton of information out there. So, internet resources, that is. I mean, they had information. It's just you had to ask for it. But do your research. So you deployed to Iraq a couple times. How was the deployment for you? And you were a medic throughout the, you know, all of this time. You didn't, you know, change your MOS or anything. So how was that deployment or those deployments for you? And, you know, kind of what were your experiences?
Yeah, great question. So my first deployment, I feel like every deployment is different, you know, every unit's different, every deployment's different. Even going back to the same place can be vastly different. But so my first deployment was pretty rough, pretty high op tempo. I believe we ended up losing 118 U.S. service members from our brigade. And that doesn't, you know, touch the number of civilians and third country nationals that were involved as well, or coalition forces. So it was definitely, you know, a learning experience. It was definitely intense. Some people ask me, you know, what it was like, and I like to tell them it was the worst of times. It was the best of times, right? It was both extremes, you know.
Sure.
It was dead quiet, sitting there waiting for something to happen, you know, joking around with your buddies, shooting the you know. And then it was being in the most chaotic situation you could dream of, you know, in sure. your life. So, but all in all, I mean, what we did out there, I was, as part of, so I was in the 3rd Brigade Special Troops Battalion. So we kind of had a little bit of everything as far as MOSs. Mm-hmm. So one of our taskings as one of 8 medics in that battalion, we shared a few different taskings. So one of those was sick call as well as like medical attention at the brigade detainee internment facility, the BDIF that we'd call for short. So anywhere where we would take detainees, the jail basically.
Sure.
So anytime we get a detainee, US forces are very considerate, and we try to make sure that, you know, the letter of the law is being followed as far as Geneva Convention. So we are doing medical exams when they're in process, you know, that includes asking about any sort of abuse, documenting any of that, making sure that's not happening. As well as when they out process, when they leave our facility, as well as any time before they're interrogated or after, and sick call twice a day, whereas like we would only give US service members sick call one time a day. So, you know, I'm not saying it's cushy to be in jail, but you know, on the medical side of things, they were well taken care of. So that was one tasking that we shared for the battalion medics. And then, we had 2 kind of convoy groups that we needed to provide medics for. The one that I was tasked to was the, provincial reconstruction team. So the personnel security detail for the provincial reconstruction team, of the Diyala province. So that is that state that we were in, Bakuba being the capital city of that state. So they were that hearts and minds kind of rebuild the infrastructure, you know, multi-agency teams of plainclothes folks, you know, day in and day out going, you know, off the base, meeting with, you know, IP, MP, IP, IAs, you know, the Iraqi police, Iraqi army, or meeting with the Iraqi government, or any type of project that we were trying to get done, like getting the water up and running again, getting the electricity up and running, you know, visiting a hospital, whatever was applicable to what we were doing at that point in time. So I was the sole. When I was tasked with that tasking, you know, we shared it amongst, I think, 3 different folks, that particular one. We would be the only medic amongst the whole team. So we have the responsibility for all those folks. And that was a really cool experience because there was, you know, a lot of diplomacy happening, a lot of, you know, being able to sit in rooms where decisions are being made at a very high level and, you know, not really having input into them, but, you know, being a fly on the wall, drinking chai, right? Getting that sugar overload. Sure. Yeah. So that was one of the taskings. And then the other one was we also had our PA, which was our officer over those 8 medics. He was at that local TMC that was on FOB Warhorse. And so we would help him out with sick call in the mornings for our battalion. And then, you know, we also had a radio to be available for any traumas that were coming in since we were pretty highly trained up. Since we were going on the convoys outside the wire, we were pretty heavily trained in tactical casualty combat care to a level where, you know, if there's something that happened and we were on the FOB, they were calling us into the trauma room to help assist with anything. And that was a pretty frequent occurrence. Lots of different mass cows and different situations like that. So pretty crazy first deployment all in all. Yeah.
So it sounds like it, first off, that's a lot of tasks and all of them, as you're telling about what they are, I'm like, that's a lot of responsibility, especially for one person going outside the wire with, a whole team of people who, are prone to getting injuries or, other things could be happening to them. That's all on you. So that's a lot. Especially yeah. as a young soldier going out there, dealing with, all of that stuff. That is a lot. And I know the medics that we had, a lot of them were on the younger side too. And, just think like, it was usually, we just rolled out with one, medic and if anything happened to, one or more people, that was on them,
Yeah. You better hope they're trained.
Yeah. Yeah. And
luckily
and they
we
were,
had, yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. I mean, you're trusting them with your life, but
exactly.
I mean, luckily we didn't have anything happen too crazy. Mm-hmm. Too crazy injury wise on the PRT and PSC team. And we had really great leadership making sure, that we were going out after route clearance each time. I'm not going to say that nothing ever went down, but we didn't deal with anything too bad on the injury side. Thank God. But yeah, definitely in the trauma room saw a lot of that there, but, a really, really amazing experience. I mean, not amazing in a great way, just out of the ordinary, extraordinary.
Right. You wouldn't get this experience
in that way.
Any other way. Right. Like it's right. not a, college internship where you go and just drive around Iraq and look for, opportunities to do all this stuff. Like that's just not what happens. So, now, another deployment related question, kind of as a segue here. Were there any particular items or care package, contents and things like that you look forward to receiving during your deployment?
Oh, definitely. I mean, look, the Army is good at feeding people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like we've got it down to a science. If you're going to fight a war for us, we're going to make sure you're fed. So like, I'm not going to say I wasn't fed, but I am just a chocoholic. Like if I can't get a hold of some Nutella, I'm going to be fiending a little bit. So my mom, I remember her specifically sending me jars of Nutella at a time. And, I ate those suckers with a spoon. I ate it with a spoon right out of the jar. Like
I bet. Yeah.
It was, it was so good.
when you don't have those comforts from home for an extended period of time and you're like, I want this now. You're going to dig in. I know when I was deployed, I was a heavy coffee drinker, and the coffee that they had, like the Army coffee, it was crap. My wife actually bought me a coffee maker and sent a crap load of coffee along with it.
You were everybody's best friend, I bet.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody loved it. And in Afghanistan, I didn't care how hot it got. We were there in the summer and it got super, super hot. She gave me like a mug, kind of like one of the, coffee mug kind of things, not like a travel kind of mug. I'd be out there standing in the, 115 degree heat and drinking hot coffee because that's just what I did. And so everyone knew I had coffee and I was more than happy to share it with folks too, because my wife sent way more than I could possibly, way more than I should drink anyways. Let's put it that way.
Keeping you fueled. I love it.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I think about care packages. Not just literally, but they keep you going.
It does.
I really
I'm
sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that one of the other things I have to make sure to mention this. One of the other things that I loved getting in care packages was like seasonal items, like a small Christmas tree.
Sure.
At one point, and decorations, like just really tiny ones, keeping up with the folks back home, I guess. Right.
One of the guys in our unit got a small bag of grass seed and some soil. And
what
it sounds stupid, right? But we had this little thing, probably no bigger than, I don't know, like a baking tray, kind of thing, like a 9x13 baking tray, filled some soil in there, put the grass. He wanted to feel grass between, like under his feet. He wanted to just like walk on grass. So we grew grass under there, and we had grass. And there was nothing green, like for miles around us. And this was like the one little patch. And, you know, we had like a little American flag that we'd put in it. It's like, this is America.
And we brought it.
We claimed it, you know?
That's so awesome.
You know, all those kind of things. It's just like the creature comforts, the things that you, you miss from home that you just want to have when, when you're away from home for an extended period of time. And I don't care if it's, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12, 18 month deployments. I don't care how long it is. At some point you're missing home. It could just be a couple weeks into it. And having those little things is just, in my mind anyways, it was just a nice way to, you know, remind you of home and make it just a little bit easier, right?
Yeah, and it's always nice to feel like you're being remembered. Like, I think it's easy when you're over there, especially like, you know, considering my experiences, sometimes it was hard, like, to, let's say, you know, help at a mass cow situation and then, you know, go into the chow hall and all you see on the TVs are, you know, Anna Nicole Smith being blasted, right? Like on the TVs or whatever it is, whatever's hot at the moment, but it's not the story of the struggle of you and your friends over there in Iraq necessarily, like all the time. And not to say that it's not covered, but I think, you know, it can start to feel like that. Like you're being forgotten and like life is going on without you. So just like having that little package that you can pick up, that letter that you can go to the mailroom and get, and there's something for you. Like, it's like looking under the Christmas tree. It like totally is that Christmas morning feeling of like, is there something for me? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I got that kind of thing all the time. And my wife was great. She sent packages all the time and other family too. I don't want to, you know, discount them as well, but I was getting packages all the time. And a few guys that I served with, they didn't get anything. They didn't really have anyone who would send them anything. So it got to the point where I was getting so much stuff. I was like, here, just like, take this. Like, I don't need all this stuff. Like, this is your mail call now. Just take the package and go with it, you know? So, that was my, you know, kind of poor attempt at a segue into talking about packages from home. Tell us about the organization. Tell us about the organization and the mission and, you know, kind of where it came from and what got you into the role that you're in now.
Of course. So, Scott, it's very similar to kind of what you just said, which is funny. So that's a great segue.
I told you I did my research.
There you go. Perfect. So Packages from Home was started in 2004 by an Army mom, Kathleen Lewis. Her son was deployed to Iraq for the first time after having joined the U.S. Army infantry literally the day after 9/11 because of 9/11. So he found himself in Iraq for the first time in 2004, and she found herself sending him care packages for the first time. And just like you said, you know, there are people that have those, right? Those moms or those wives that you can always count on to be sending those packages regularly. You know, shout out to my Aunt Suzanne. I can't leave her out for sure. Like, she sent me so many like homemade cookies that we always look forward to, me and my roommates. And it's cool that you mentioned the sharing thing too, because that's definitely something we hear a lot, is folks sharing care packages amongst each other. But so Kathleen was sending all these care packages to her son Christian in Iraq, and Christian was like, "Mom, you're actually sending me like too much stuff. Some people over here are not getting anything at all." And so she's like, "Christian, that like that's not a problem. I'm not going to send you less. I'm going to send you more, right?" Mm-hmm. And from there, Packages from Home was born. She rallied, you know, her troops back home, the community, It started in her garage, grew from there to a donated space, to now, you know, where our location is in Glendale. So it's become something, you know, bigger than what it was. I know, so this is our 20th year in operation in 2024. And although we're not in any active conflicts currently, we still have about, this is actually something shocking that everybody is surprised to find out, myself included, we still have about 190,000 U.S. military members in over 176 countries worldwide.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's actually, pardon me, it's actually information that you can find for yourself on the internet. If you Google the DoD Force Strength Report, you know, it'll come up with an Excel spreadsheet, and you can add those numbers up for yourself and see there. You know, it's not giving away any classified information, but you can definitely verify that there is, what we're saying is true. There is a need for care packages for service members overseas still, even though we are not in any active conflicts. We still get about 50 requests a day, and we get them from all over the place. A lot from the Middle East still, many from naval ships, but really you name it, and we send care packages to a U.S. military base there. So Africa, Italy, Japan, really anywhere that you can think of.
So you get about, you said about 50 requests a day. Are you able to?
Yeah, on average, yes.
Are you able to fill all 50 of those requests, you know, as they are coming in? Is that something?
Yeah, we have actually been so fortunate to be able to receive so many generous donations from
wow.
the community and from grants and corporate support to be able to fund 100% of the requests that we
That's
receive.
Awesome.
Now, we say we love special requests. We definitely do. And we do our best to accommodate those. Sometimes, you know, it's not an exact match, but mm-hmm. we are, each request is processed and fulfilled.
That's awesome.
So we're very proud of that. Yeah.
Because I just did the quick math and I'm like, that's about 18,000 care packages a year.
Yeah.
And as you do the math, like 50, okay, I can figure out 50, but then tomorrow there's going to be another 50 and then another,
exactly.
and another,
exactly.
you know, so
yeah,
that adds up really quickly. And it's more than just, you know, the box that it's sent in. It's the, you know, whatever the items are that are being shipped over there, but it's also,
exactly.
You know, the postage and all this other stuff mm-hmm. that goes into it.
Yeah. It's there's not a lot,
cheap, right?
Yeah, no, it certainly isn't. And it's actually just the postage alone. I mean, leaving out recent inflation on, you know, food products and whatnot, but just when we're talking about postage, that itself has increased over 400%, I'm sorry, since we started in 2004. So,
oh, wow.
a huge increase.
That is huge.
A lot of people think that care packages to the military are free, or should be free. I support yeah. that they should be, but, you know, brass taxes that they are not. So yeah. we do have to fundraise, you know, for that gap. And just like you said, we're in taking donated products. So we, you know, those are individual donations that we have to, you know, coalesce and make sure that we quality control. So it really does take, like you said, a huge workforce mm-hmm. and a lot of resources to be able to get this done. We definitely do it the most efficient way possible. We're really proud about that. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, just like, you know, learning the back end of the podcast stuff, there's a lot that goes into it that people don't really see.
I'm sure. Yeah. Now, are these care packages, I know you mentioned like special requests, but are they for the most part like a one size fits all, like you get this package kind of thing, or are they customizable? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We also like to say that we pack in pairs because we care. So what that means is that generally each person on our list has the opportunity to select food and or hygiene care packages. So a crucial part of our process is that in making sure that these care packages are a thoughtful gift to our service members, we want to make sure it's not just a bunch of stuff thrown in a box without any thought or care. So what that means is that from the time that items are donated to us to the point in time that they're shipped out, they are all kept separately, food and hygiene items, because nobody likes cookies and crackers that taste like soap, right? So that Irish Spring, I'm sure even just people hearing it, they can smell it right now, right? So we don't want to taste it. I mean, I will if I'm hungry enough, right? Like hunger is the best spice, they say. And we were talking about that Nutella jar earlier, but I would do it if I was in a pinch, but it's not preferable,
No, right,
right?
exactly. It's not, that's not what you open up the package and you're all excited, like, oh yeah, someone sent me something, and it's like, this tastes like crap. I don't
Yeah.
want this.
It
You should
tastes
have not
no.
sent
Yeah. So that can be a little disappointing, but
Sure.
so we make sure to avoid that by separating our food and hygiene. We pack in pairs because we care. So they have the opportunity on our request form. I mean, they might be good because there's so many, like I said, 190,000 US service members overseas. I mean, and while that's a small fraction of the actual like military, I don't know why I said it so weird. There's so many different experiences, jobs, people. It really is a little swath of right America, so much diversity there. So like you're gonna have so many different preferences and needs, right? Some people might not have a PX or a BX where they're at. Some people might have one that's full of things, so they're just asking for that one specific item that they can't find. Whereas other people might have basically nothing and need all of it, food and hygiene. So they have the option to pick whether they want what they want there. And that helps us reduce any sort of waste and make sure that we're, being proper stewards of donor dollars.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in addition to the service members, the people service members, you also service the canines as well, right? As far as sending items that they may need through some of your programs, right?
Exactly. Yes, we have an initiative, a project through Packages from Home that is called Bones from Home. So that program sends those same food, hygiene, entertainment items, but for our furry canine friends who are serving. So those service members, as we're calling them, have their own rank, and but unfortunately, their handlers don't have a budget for extra toys or all those splurge things that might be necessary to make sure that that animal is getting the proper enrichment and development that it needs to do its very important job. So it's kind of like the teacher situation, right? They might have to dip into their own pockets to go a little bit above and beyond if that's what they're trying to do. So we like to bridge that gap and send those items as well. So if they sign up and just click the box that they are a canine handler, put in their partner's name and rank, and we will send out a canine care package to them as well.
Excellent. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to the packages that you guys send, are there any other programs that you have as far as supporting the military, through other programs that you have?
Yeah, we do. So from time to time, we'll have different things that might be like for a short period of time. So like in the past, we've done a lot of different like entertainment things, like sporting events, or we've done sporting events for veterans, or we've done like during COVID, we did like a drive up grocery, fresh grocery box delivery. So we kind of try to tune into the needs of like the veteran community, where we are, to provide what's needed at that point in time. And we do that through partnering with our Packages for Hope partners, and that's specifically like our veteran part of the initiative. So yes, there's kind of two ways that we help out veterans. Two main ways. One is through stand-ups or stand-downs. Those are resource fairs that are across the country. This past, about 2 weeks ago, we had the largest one in the country is actually the Maricopa County stand-down here at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, put on by the Arizona Housing Coalition. So we are always very happy to be there serving veterans. I think we gave out about 11,000 pounds of food, hygiene,
oh wow,
entertainment items to veterans at the stand down. So there's events like that throughout the country, and then also locally in different counties and in different cities that we go to provide tangible supplies, these veteran care packages to the veterans. And then we also have the other side of it, where once you become a HOPE partner with us, these are for other charities that serve veterans directly. They can partner with us to become a HOPE partner. And then that allows them to shop our warehouse for whatever items they need for an event. For instance, we partnered the last 2 years with Irreverent Warriors. I don't know if you've heard of them. So we've partnered with them the last 2 years and provided snacks and kind of goodie bag items, sunscreen, beverages for veterans who are doing that, the hike in Phoenix, as well as Las Vegas. And then I think we supported in San Diego as well. So being able to partner with organizations like that who serve veterans directly and being able to provide the resources that we have for them is another way that we partner. And then I'm most excited to tell you about this last way. I said there were two main ways, but there are two main ways. And then there's this last third option as well. So this is the Packages from Home Military Trauma Support Group. This is a group that gets together every Monday, excluding federal holidays, for dinner, a space to share military experiences, and to receive peer-to-peer support regarding military trauma and transitioning to the civilian world. So that's open to veterans and active duty. We've had some folks who are active duty that are now veterans who attended both as active duty and as veterans. So you're welcome to do that. We also have a Zoom portion available for folks who cannot or do not want to attend in person. And the way to get involved with that would be to just email us at info@packagesfromhome.org and let us know that you're interested in the military trauma support group. And then we'll have somebody from the group reach out to you with more details and be able to make sure that that's a good fit. And then you are invited to attend. So that's a really cool resource that we've been able to provide. And then on top of that, with that group, we do social events that are paid for by Packages from Home. We rented out a theater and did a showing of, I think it was a Spider-Man movie. So everybody could bring their families, and everybody got a gift, and there was food provided. So we really like to take care of our veterans. We actually employ a lot of veterans here. We received the only federal hiring award for veterans, Hire Vets, 2 years in a row. So also proud of that as well. But
that's awesome. And I like how it's branched out beyond just the packages. And I don't say just like it's a small thing, because that is a huge part of what you do. Yeah. And there's, as we were talking about, there's a lot of packages that go out, and there's are a lot of people, either deployed or stationed overseas who are looking for those little pieces of home that right. brighten their day. And, you know, like you said, you know, those hard to find items, those things that you maybe just can't find because you don't have a PX or anything like that nearby. Or even if you do, it's just, they don't stock it. So, you know, getting that little piece of home is great. But also, you mentioned the military, trauma support group. I found that with veterans that I've talked to through this show or other events and places that I've gone to, at first you may have that kind of gut feel like, I don't want to go talk to a bunch of people or whatever, that's not for me or whatever. But once when you get involved and you start talking to these people, you realize you got a heck of a lot in common. And it's kind of cool how quickly veterans especially find that connection and just start opening up to each other. And you know, I've talked to other people who are from other veteran type organizations, and they've had very similar experiences where there's a lot of healing that goes on when you start to find that camaraderie and find your people again, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're so right. And it's amazing to be able to provide that space. We have a really amazing group of veterans as well. They are very welcoming. It's not restricted to combat veterans. Mm-hmm. It truly is open to all active duty, all veterans, all walks of life, male and female. So yeah, we're excited to be able to offer that and hope to really just expand that in the future and be able to offer it in more locations.
Awesome. Yeah. And so it's currently just in one location plus the Zoom connection too, right? So if you wanted
to
connect virtually, you could do that as well, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Perfect. Awesome. So for anybody who might be interested in either getting involved with like the trauma support group, or maybe who want to make a donation or to send a package overseas to somebody, what's the process like, and where can people go to find out more information for all of that?
Perfect. So the first place I'm going to say would be best to look would be our website, www.packagesfromhome.org. You can tell I'm a millennial because I said www, but packagesfromhome.org. We do have some kind of text to information as well. Something that we're looking for right now is our people to volunteer and help out. We're really looking to grow our volunteer force. So if you have extra time and you would like to get involved with Packages from Home, you can text volunteer to 844-615-0055. And that's volunteer. Again, that's 844-615-0055. And I have QR codes for all these as well. Cool. That I can give you. So that will get you the link to our volunteer application for our regular volunteer positions. Okay. If you want to just come in one day and volunteer, you're welcome to do that. That is, our volunteer calendar is at packagesfromhome.org/volunteer. And that will get you that public volunteering calendar. But again, like I said, right now we're trying to build up our volunteer workforce. So we do have some regular volunteer positions. So maybe if you're retired, disabled, or just have some time, extra time on your hands, we would welcome for you to apply to be a volunteer at Packages from Home. And that would be the phone number I gave you. And you would text volunteer to that phone number. It will give you the link for our volunteer application. And it will list out there all of the jobs that we have available. That's like volunteer driver, to be able to pick up items from drop sites, or pick up donations, or deliver items for events. We also have packing party, a need for folks for our packing party army. And that would be people who want to help out at community events that we have. Then we also have core volunteers who volunteer here in the warehouse regularly. Mm-hmm. And then volunteer leadership positions as well. So we'd love to have you on the team. So go ahead and submit your application and we will be in contact with you.
Wonderful. And I'll have the links that you gave. I'll have all that in the show notes and the phone number that people can text. I'll put that in the show notes as well so that Perfect. They can find where to go to get more information.
Wonderful.
Awesome organization. The work that you guys do, I think, extends beyond the care packages, and it's really helpful, like you said, to just put a smile on someone's face when they open up those packages and think, someone actually cared enough to take the time to send the package to put all the stuff together, package it up, bring it to the post office, ship it out, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Someone actually cared enough. And, it just makes you feel like you're not forgotten, like you said. So it's pretty awesome, the type of work that you guys are doing. So before we wrap this episode up, I always like to end the episodes with a little bit of humor, just some way to put a smile on people's faces. And so I love doing a segment that I call "Is It Service Connected?" Whenever I have another veteran on the show, I love doing this segment because can get a good laugh out of it. And so you can probably imagine what the segments are like just based on the name of it. But it's kind of like America's Funniest Home Videos, but military edition, someone doing something stupid, falling down, getting hurt, something like that. Nothing too serious, but it usually gets a pretty good laugh. So I'm gonna share my screen with you so you can see this video here. And for the audio only listeners, I'll try to describe it as best as I can. Your best bet, go on YouTube and check out the video or Twitter or X, whatever the kids are calling it these days.
Right.
So right now we look like we got a bunch of guys standing around some artillery or something like that, and it's probably not going to end very well for whoever is in this video.
Great.
But it's not looking great. We'll see what goes on. So let me hit play here. Okay, he's loading it. He's popping it in, getting ready to close it up, and he just gets slammed in the gut with the recoil.
Back blast area was not clear.
Back blast area definitely not cleared, and he went flying. That was, I think that's kind of what I would imagine if I was like in the ring with Mike Tyson or something, like how I would go flying.
Oh my gosh. Right.
If I got hit by that guy. But this was,
that was a gut punch. Definitely.
Pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely say service connected on that one. That guy's getting some sort of disability
If I was his medic, I would write it up.
Yeah. 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 First off,
I'd also be looking for internal bleeding.
Yeah. Internal bleeding. Even though it didn't hit him in the head, I got to imagine as he was flying backwards, he probably hit his head on something. There's probably a head injury in there somewhere.
Oh, definitely. Definitely a TBI.
Yeah. So at the absolute minimum, his ego is bruised forever, and he'll never live that one down. So, anyways, thank you again so much for taking the time to come on, sharing a little bit about your background, your story, which I appreciate you opening up and sharing your background, but also for all the work that you guys are doing at Packages from Home. And all the work that you're doing to help the not only the currently serving, but also the veteran community. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott, Thank you so much, Scott, for.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.